Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hopefully everybody can hear me. You're live here on UWC Radio. Sonia, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, thank goodness. I had to have you call in because I couldn't hear you as we did. Okay. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to be honest. You know, I can only do so much on this show. I mean, I'm really taking a chance here, you know, by being on the air. But I got to tell you, man, I barely made it here. And I didn't know if Sonia was coming on. And then now I get a text from Manny going, well, Chaz is supposed to be on. Everybody's supposed to. News to me. It's 7 o'clock. So I don't know if Chaz is going to come in. Pete said he didn't know if he's coming on. Pete texted me and said, are you hosting tonight? I said, yeah. I said, are Sonia and them and you coming? I said, I'm not coming on. I don't know if Sonia's coming. It's just, I hate doing... last minute.
Chaz and Peter.
Okay. Are any of them coming on? Chaz, what? I'm sorry.
Chaz wants to be on.
Hold on a second.
I told him that we'll call him.
Hold
Peter,
on.
I told
Sparkles,
him I was going to be
here.
On, but I don't know what happened.
Okay. So we don't know who's calling. We don't know what's going on at 7:05. So Chaz or Pete or anybody who can hear me. Let me know. Call in. Here's the call-in number, 563-999-3016. Again, the call-in number, if you want to call in, it's 563-999-3016. Okay, we're just going to get going because we got so much to get. D-Lo Brown's coming up at the 7:15 mark. You know, it was kind of touch and go. I didn't know if he was going to be able to make it or not, but Manny procured him for the show, so he's gonna come up at 7:15.
Yeah.
I got Guyam coming on at 7:45 because he was supposed to be on last Thursday. I don't know, you know, exactly what happened. So we'll get going with that in just a minute. But before we get going, just to let the people know that this is why it's been a whirlwind of activity, and we've been going all over the place, you know, because you know, with WrestleCon coming up, it's huge. You know, April 30th is my last show. I can't, you know, do anything in the ring anymore. And I think I've talked about it before, what I got going on, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When we all sat down and had a meeting, man, he's like, hey man, you know, I really want this company to progress. I want people to know that we're serious and what we're all about. So, you know, we're all going to WrestleCon. We're all going to be in the booth.
Yep.
We're going to do some live broadcasting from there. We're going to, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on. So I'm like, oh, dude, Sonia, how much do Manny and I fight at these meetings about money?
A lot. It's always,
you know,
it's always about the money.
Well, we do, because I'm like, well, no, man, you know, that's too much money, Manny. I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm checking his underwear to see if he's shitting money or it's like, you know, we go back and forth. And then, you know, when he does it, I'm like, dude, you know, he put so much into it. I can't, you know, just sit back and go, okay, well, let's see what happens. I gotta push, you know, I gotta get it out there. So we've been working behind the scenes to, you know, to get it out there. So that's why, you know, we Felix Ruelas was supposed to come on. His son Kenneth has a big fight coming up, but we pushed him back because they said, well, look, if we're going to get D'Lo on, let's get him on. He's going to be at WrestleCon, so, you know, we're going to talk to him and all that. So, you know, we got all that worked out. So real quick, for the people listeners, we're all going to be there. WrestleCon is coming up, you know, at the end of March and the beginning of April. We're going to be there all 3 days.
March 31st to the 3rd.
Right. When we said that we're going to go ahead and do it and we're going to make it, you know, as huge as possible, I went out and luckily my wife knew the contact to get the new mic stands. Cause I'm going to be honest, man, I sold all my equipment. You know, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And it's just taking up, you know, room in the garage. So I sold it all. And it's like, dude, so I got some new mic stands. I went out and bought some brand new mics. You know, I said, you know, because we have to. I mean, you know, when you do WrestleCon, it has to look professional because, you know, everybody, that's the big thing. So, and we want to be able to set ourselves apart. You know, we're going to have, you know, a booth, and we're going to have a live broadcast, and we're going to be giving away stuff, and we're going to, you know, just all kinds of stuff we're working on. So that's why, you know, we're making a concerted effort to get, I don't know if you noticed, Sonia, but I don't have Facebook anymore. I don't have Twitter. The only reason I have my Instagram account is because I haven't been able to get rid of it because you got to know your password and all, and I lost it. So, but as of April 30th, after that, then it's gone. All my, you know, I'm supposed to be off social media and stuff like that. Luckily, I've only worked two shows for Camel since then, and I don't have anything coming up until after April 30th. So that's why they're kind of letting me go, you know, this far. So that's the big thing. Now, have you talked to PG Jello? Is she, you know, give me the brief synopsis of what Sonia, Pete Jr. and PG Jello are doing to get ready for WrestleCon. Did you buy some new outfits? Did you got a new Louis Vuitton handbag? How do you get ready?
We had to buy new outfits, getting my eyebrows done, gonna do my hair. You know, gotta look. You gotta get my nails done. We're getting all that ready.
Well, the thing is they continue to just start getting more and more guests as everything gets closer.
Yeah.
You know, people start confirming and stuff like that. Now, you know, I did many jiu-jitsu con or whatever it's called, and you know, everybody comes, so we're able to get them over to the booth, and you know, they're chomping at the bit to get their names out there and stuff like that. So, you know, it was easy. Now, this is going to be my first WrestleCon. Now, guys like Chris Daniels, I've known for years, Frankie Kazarian, you know, people like that. So I'm like, cool. Hopefully, you know, I'm like, hey, bro, come on over. Let's you know, let's talk for a little bit or whatever. What it looks like, okay, as we progress and get closer to WrestleCon, it's going to be over like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, but it says just the ticket holders have to leave. So I'm hoping when we're cleaning up, getting everything ready, locking it down for the next day, we can get some of these guys over. Hey, bro, why don't you come on for, you know, 10 minutes? Let's just, you know, so we know that you're going to be here the next day or whatever. So that's what we're looking forward to. It's kind of hard to get these guys out of their booth and into our booth to talk for a minute, unless they're just completely bored stiff, which I don't see happening.
Yeah.
So that's what we're working on. Plus, we want to, you know, we have a big show coming up April 30th. And I got to tell you, man, it's out there. There's a buzz. People are like, dude, not only is it my last match, my retirement match, it's the second annual Pistol Pete Memorial Cup. You know, it's going to be Guyam and Silver Tiger against Santana and Jimmy Mayhem, which is huge. And then now the first, you know, since we newly created and revamped the United Wrestling Council, it's going to be Chaz against Drew Masters for the belt. So it is humongous. So this is just another vehicle for us to get that out there and people to take us serious and go, hey, man, this is what's happening. So we definitely look forward to WrestleCon. I'm hoping we can meet a couple of more times before we get out there because it's like I talked about before, Sonia, it's like those, when you see those shows that like flip houses and they have like a plumber and then they have somebody who does electrical. You know, that's what we're trying to get. Like since I have a big mouth, it's up to me to get it, get the work out there and, you know, work on host and doing this show or whatever. It's up to Sonia to blast it out there on the social media and try to get as many people as possible. You know, Nicolette and PG Jello are the face of UWC, so we just want them looking good so people will go, yeah, bro, I'll come and do your podcast or whatever. So, and then we got Pete that's got a black, you know, he's the computer guy, man. I've been trying to upload stuff for a week now because I went to 3PW and did a live broadcast over there. I don't know what happened to my cord to go into the laptop to upload everything to a thing that I can send to email to Pistol Pete Jr. So it's a big mess. So that's why we need Pete to be our computer guy to get everything out there. And then, of course, Manny as the proprietor of UWC to, you know, okay everything and say, hey, yeah, let's do this, and okay, I'll come back for this. And now trying to keep Manny on budget is a whole different ballgame, which I'm not even going to get into because it'll take me a whole hour or whatever. But it's just, you know, there's a lot of you know, spokes in the wheel that keep it turning. So we definitely, you know, look forward to that. We've been really making a concerted effort to get, you know, to WrestleCon and make it, you know, as professional as possible. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'm going to see if I can get Chaz first, see if he wants to come on, because he's got, you know, his big match. I want to talk a little bit about that. I got D'Lo Brown coming up at 7:15, so then I'll give him a call, see if he's ready to go. And then at 7:45, we'll get Guyam in here to get the lucha aspect from there. So, Sonya, I'm going to go ahead and take that quick break. I'm going to shoot Chaz I'm going to shoot him a text first, and then we'll call D'Lo Brown, all right?
All right.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
Is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
Okay, Sonya, I sent Chaz a text. I sent, because see how I had to call, I had to have you call in.
Yeah.
Because
there's a problem
so
calling,
I don't,
off, calling out.
I don't want to, yeah, I don't want to do that. Hold on a second. I'm sending just in case. Okay, so I sent him that so that just in case, you know, we can't hear him or whatever, so we'll have him. Hold on a second. Live radio, everybody. Hold on a second. I'm telling you, this is why we need Pete. Ahead and call that number, please. Okay, so there we go. This way, if he calls in, then we know for sure that he will be able to get him on there. So, Chaz, if you're listening, man, I sent you the call-in number. If you want to call in, talk about your big match or whatever, hopefully D'Lo's going to call right now. So instead of me calling him and we go, what, hello, he'll be able to come on. So is PG Jello with you right now? Was she? Yeah, she's scooping ice cream. Hold on a second.
Now she's in the other room.
Okay, hold on a second. Hello, this is UWC Radio. This is Fabiano. Is this D'Lo?
This is D'Lo. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Thank goodness. Thank goodness we got you on. Real quick for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information. I got D'Lo Brown with me. I got a ton of things that I want to talk to him about. So real quick before we get to D'Lo, Chaz, are you there?
Yes, Bobby, I'm here.
Hello, all right, D'Lo. Chaz, we're doing good. We want to talk
Hello,
about
Chaz,
your big title
you?
Match.
Good.
We want to talk about your title match coming up. Let me get to D'Lo real quick, and then we'll kind of bring it all to a head. So Real quick, D-Lo, I got...
Pinky Jello's here too, guys.
Okay, hey, cool. Jello. I know you're not too familiar with the show, so real quick, you know, I'm Fabiano. I've been hosting for a while, but I'm going to be riding off into the sunset pretty soon. I got Chaz Herrera with me. He's going to be wrestling for the big United Wrestling Council title pretty soon. I got Sonia with me. She's been the co-host for quite some time. And, of course, as you just heard, PG Jello, who is the face, along with Nicolette Marie, for UWC. So real quick, everybody say hi to D-Lo.
Hey.
Hey,
what's going on, everybody?
It's a big difference, you know, because when you have a live studio, you know, everybody could look at each other and see when they're talking. But when you're on the air like this, it's hard to, you know, let everybody know. So real quick, D-Lo,
there's a delay sometimes.
Exactly. I want to talk about, you know, WrestleCon coming up, which I don't know if you heard the opening, but we talked a lot about that. Then, of course, you know, this show coming up Saturday, you're going to be at 3PWA, Back to Biz. So I want to talk a little bit about that, you know, as we progress. But before we get into that, which I try to get it out there as early as possible when we're going to have a guest on the show. So when I finally was able to put, yes, D-Lo is coming, you know, on the show, dude. I mean, you want to talk about emails and messages and, you know, these computer warriors, I like to call them. They have all these questions that they're afraid to tell you face-to-face. So we're going to cut that in half. We're not even going to talk about that. Do you get that a lot? Like on your social media and stuff like that, people going, oh, you should have did this or you should have did that or anything like that. You get a little bit of negativity on your social media?
You get the good with the bad. I mean, so you just take it. And it's no big issue. It's no big deal. But, you know. With every good person that sends a good question or something, there's got to be that one person who just wants to go the other way for whatever reason. So you let it roll off your back and don't let it bother you.
Yeah, and when I used to work for Tap Out, the owner used to say, hey, man, unless you have a little haterism in your game, you're not doing something right because then you know you're reaching everybody. But
here's my thing. Like me or love me, at least you have an opinion about me, and that's the important thing.
Exactly, and at least they're talking about you. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit, you know, it's good that I have Chaz here because he's been in the business for a while too, but I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm about to ride off into the sunset, and this is my thing, and I'll see if D-Lo agrees with me. My whole thing has just been trying my hardest to get people to take professional wrestling seriously, just to be more professional and stuff like that when we do our stuff. Because the one thing I hate is you say, oh, yeah, I'm a professional wrestler. They go, oh, that fake stuff or whatever, which they have no idea what it takes, you know, to be a professional wrestler, what you go through, you know, and stuff like that. So real quick before we get on to, you know, D-Lo being at 3PWA at WrestleCon like that, talk a little bit about that. I know people probably don't go up to your face and say that because they're, you know, keyboard warriors, but do you get that? Does it kind of bother you when people say that? I mean, especially you because you've been to the big show and you know what it's like to get there. You made it, you know, to the top. Talk a little bit about that and give me your feelings on that.
My thing is, I don't worry about those who want to, you know, denigrate or put down what I do. I worry about those who like our business and love what we do, and those are the ones that I want to invest more time in. Those of you who think wrestling is fake, I can't convince you it's real. And for those of you who think wrestling is real, there's no way I'm going to tell you it's fake. So, I mean, I spend a lot of my energy on the positive side and those who want to be part of professional wrestling and not those who are detractors.
Right. Don't want to waste your time on that negativity or whatever. But, you know, with all that being said, talk a little bit about, you know, because wrestling's changed. You know, the curtain's been pulled back a little bit, you know, and people kind of get to know, you know, a little bit behind the scenes, which we really didn't want. But now that it's kind of out there, you know, like when we train, you know, we want those people, you know, to come to that show and go, dude, you know, even though I know what's going on, that was a show, man. I think this dude is really hurt. I think, you know, we got to, you know, so it's kind of evolved into a more strong style, you know, or whatever, so that people can, you know, go know that it's not, it's like you look at something like New Japan, you know, they're laying them in. When they're throwing them kicks and stuff, you know, they're laying in hard. So you being, now you're still in Las Vegas, right?
Yes.
So, well, first of all, you know, the hotbed used to be L.A. because there was luchas out here and all that. But it seems to me like Vegas is starting to become, you know, pretty hot enough. You got FSW, you got, I don't know, Pride Style and a bunch of wrestling shows out there. So is that why you, I mean, I don't know where you, if you moved out there or whatever, is that where you decided to stay in Vegas because it is becoming such a hotbed out there?
that's one of the main reasons I stayed out here is because the emerging wrestling scene and culture that was here. When I first got here 9 years ago, it was very little independent wrestling at all. And then over those 9 years, it has really grown to where now FS7 puts on large shows every other month. I mean, there, you can find wrestling here every weekend if you look for it. So Vegas is finally getting known for its wrestling culture, which I'm thankful of.
Yeah, I would agree with that because I worked for Kevin Kleinrock, who works for Lucha Central, and I was doing a podcast for him, and he had the first Lucha Expo out there in Vegas. And when I went out there, I was amazed at the fan base that's out there. And I believe it was FSW who provided the ring. And, you know, Chris Bay was there and Brody King and these guys were all coming up. And it was like, wow, to see these guys progress, you know, was amazing, which is, of course, what we look for. But I'm sorry, real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. And we're talking to D'Lo Brown a little bit about, you know, the way wrestling has evolved, man, and little places like Las Vegas, well, not little, but it's gambling capital of the world, are coming up, you know, and really starting to, people are starting to take notice. So real quick, I know these guys probably have some questions for you, too. We'll start with Chaz. Chaz, anything you want to ask D'Lo real quick?
Yeah. Hey, D'Lo. I've enjoyed your work for a long time. I watched as you came up in WWF. That's what I mainly watched at the time as a kid. So I followed your whole story pretty much throughout the whole your first run there. I wanted to know, do you remember when you decided this is what I'm going to do?
That is a really easy question. I decided about 9 years old this is what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I wanted to be a pro wrestler, and I told my sister, we're sitting there watching wrestling, like, I'm going to do that one day. And she said, yeah, right. And lo and behold, like 15 years later, 14 years later, she's standing next to me in a giant arena, and she goes, wow, you really did this, didn't you? And I said, yes, I did. So I wanted to be a wrestler since the day I could really see what was out there.
Yeah.
Which wrestlers inspired you?
Guys like, well, obviously, I got lucky enough to be with them. My mentor, Ron Simmons, inspired the hell out of me. And then guys like Dusty Rhodes and Arn Anderson. Like, I always liked those worker-style wrestlers who weren't the flashy ones. I didn't like the Hogans or the Flairs. I like those hard work guys. So those are the guys that inspired me.
But, you know, that's huge. I mean, especially back then. I remember watching all that back in the day, too. But I got to tell you something, man. I have the Vice Channel. And they had the special on New Jack. And I didn't even know that D'Lo was with them when they were out there in the South area. And, I got to tell you, when I watched that documentary, I'm like, because you guys were literally risking your life out there. You know, because when I saw that, I thought, man, are these guys nuts? They were, and when New Jack was saying that you guys had to get in the car and they would the police would escort you to the state line to get you out of there. I mean, that's crazy. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, there had to be legitimate fear that, you know, who knows what these people are going to do.
Oh, yeah, because you don't know what motivates people sometimes. And, you know, as the gangsters in Smoky Mountain, we didn't have just heat, we're going to boo you. We had heat where we want to murder you. And that's a whole different feeling. And you can tell when you do something like, you know, we were heels, so we cheated, the arena would go silent. And that wasn't a good silence. That was them thinking they were going to come over the rails at us. Because, you know, wrestling in the South was still real then. It was real to them. It didn't matter. And when you're beating up on the Rock and Roll Express, which is, you know, their white knee baby faces they love, you are going to be the most hated people out there. And then you turn on, you know, New Jack's microphone and let him go. You know, New Jack could make people so mad with a promo. I think Hitler could have walked out of the curtain and people would have cheered for him.
Oh, well, I agree 100%, man. That documentary was wicked. Not that, man, you talk about paying your dues. That is paying dues when, you know, stuff, especially out there in the South, man. Those people are crazy. But, D'Lo, I got to take a quick break. Just like a 30-second break. Can you hang on real quick? Because I still got a lot more to talk about.
I got you, though. Go ahead.
Okay, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with D'Lo Brown. Hey, everybody. back here with D'Lo Brown. D'Lo, I got to tell you, we did a big live broadcast for 3PWA this Saturday. I had Tony Reyes and a bunch of people that are going to be on the show. And it was funny because when I talked to Tony off the air, I'm like, hey, well, you know, what? How'd you get with D'Lo? And it's, oh, you know, I've known him. And I brought him in. And the main reason, and this is off air and off the record, he goes, the main reason I brought him in and we got together is because he's got that respect. When I do a show and they know D'Lo Brown is going to be there, then they know that I'm legit. And when he said that, I said, man, that, you know, that makes a lot of sense. That's what I'm talking about. So for the people listening to us here on UWC Radio, 3PWA Back to Biz is going to be this Saturday at the American Legion Post 295. It's at 5646 Corporate Avenue in Cypress, California. Doors open at 6:30. Bell time is 7 p.m. D'Lo's going to be there. And it's you know, when we're talking about earlier about people not taking it serious, this is what I'm talking about. Tony's like, well, people know if I got D'Lo Brown coming, they know that I'm a serious company and I got serious businesses. But not only that, he's got the respect from the workers, the wrestlers. You know, if he says, hey, man, you know, let's do this or whatever, they listen. You know, so talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about getting involved with 3PWA. Now that with this big show coming up this Saturday, I got to tell you, man, I saw that lineup and what they got going on. This show's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's going to be real huge. And 3PWA is an up-and-growing company, and it's trying to add length, some credibility to, you know, the great wrestling scene in Southern California. And they're just trying to, you know, cut out their little piece of the pie there. And Tony, who's a good friend of mine, loves putting on great shows and loves being out there entertaining and wants to give everyone their value for their dollar. If you're going to spend your hard-earned money to come watch 3PWA, you're going to leave that show knowing you saw the best you could on that night. And that's why, you know, I like to associate that with Tony and 3PWA because it's a, you know, he terms himself a legitimate company.
Yeah, it's smart. And Tony's smart we'll pose this question to D'Lo. I got Chaz and I got PG Jello and Sonya with me. You know, our company, UWC, we do a lot of live broadcasts. You know, we go out and we promote. Now, the trouble I have, you know, and Manny can say this too, who's the proprietor and the owner of UWC, you know, to get these guys to come out and promote. I mean, we're only asking for 15 minutes to come on the air and promote yourself, you know, and say, hey, man, I'm going to be at the show, you know, blah, 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 whatever. You know, it's like pulling teeth, just like at the live broadcast that I did for 3PWA. Tony was there, AJ Bana came out, Buddy George came out, you know, the American Punk, and, you know, we did really well. And then Tony was like, see, this is what I'm talking about. When these guys come to the live broadcast and they promote, I know they're serious. I know they really want, you know, to get out there and they're going to work hard, you know, to get it out there. So you cut, because back in the day, D'Lo, I don't know if you remember, like, I wanted to go to Japan. And back then, you had to send the VHS tape, you know, out there just for them to take a look at you. And now they could just go to, like, a YouTube or whatever. So do you see that now that the guys are kind of, I don't want to say spoiled because that sounds dumb, but just don't seem to be putting in as much work. Do you agree? Or?
I think things are a lot easier now. And you gave the perfect classic example. I mean, I've sent a lot of VHS tapes out, and I had no money to do it. And I had to because I said you got work. And now you can send a YouTube link in an email, which – I wish I had social media back when I broke in. But, I mean, and to go back to your previous statement, the value of promoting yourself is important. You're your own business. You're your own brand. And here's a classic example. If you had a room full of $100 bills and you said, I'm giving them away for free, but no one knew where that room was, you'll have a room full of $100 bills. But if you tell everybody where it is, they're going to flock to it. Same thing about you as a wrestler or a talent. If you have to get out there and let people know where you're going to be, when you're going to be there, so if they make the choice to come see you, they know where you are. Promoting your brand is paramount to success in this business.
Yeah, it makes a difference. I don't know. We've been trying to get that across to these guys, but, you know, it's very far and few between. We have a few guys that are like, yeah, man, absolutely, let's do it. And, you know, they come out. I got to tell you, when the luchadores come out and they have the masks on, we were at the gym and they had a powerlifting meet and it was packed. But when they saw those two guys in the mask come in, the whole crowd just stopped and they turned and looked and said, wrestling's going to be here. So it, like, really helped, you know, draw and get that out there. So, you know, real quick, for the people listeners, you're here at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the information. And we're talking to D'Lo Brown. Big show coming up this Saturday. He's going to be there. It's 3 PWA Back to Business. It's going to be this Saturday. It's at American Legion Post 295. It's at 5646 Corporate Avenue in the city of Cypress. Doors open at 6:30. Bell time is 7 p.m. Make sure you get your buns out there. Now, on that note, you know, since I got Chaz and I got Sonya and everybody with me, you know, Manny went all out. He's the owner and the proprietor for UWC. And he said, look, man, we're going to go to WrestleCon. We're going all 3 days. We're taking all the equipment. We want to, you know, make sure that people, like we talked about, this is a serious company, and we want to make sure everybody knows about it. So not only that, but D'Lo's going to be out there. He's going to be there for session 1, 3, and 4. So make sure you check it out. If you want to check it out, you can just go to WrestleCon.com and you'll see everything there. It's at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel in downtown L.A. Talk a little bit about that, D'Lo. You know, it's good because you get out there, people see you in person. You know, these keyboard warriors can stay home. The people who really appreciate your work can actually see you, get a picture with you and stuff like that. Talk a little bit about that coming up at the end of March.
Well, I mean, I love doing events like WrestleCon because it gives me that chance to get back out there and interact with those people, you know, the fans who made you who you are. You know, I could be in the ring wrestling, but if the fans don't take a liking to you and help support you, then you're nobody without them. So it's just a way of getting back out there and giving back and just getting to talk to them one-on-one, spend a few hours out there, have some fun. So I love doing it. I just had one this past weekend here in Vegas, and I'm looking forward to WrestleCon as well because it's just great to be out there.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about. Well, we'll be out there too, definitely. So, you know, we look forward to seeing you out there. You know, I know it's a lot of hustle and bustle, but maybe we can get you for a few minutes over there too. So, you know, Manny always says, man, you talk too much. Make sure you let other people talk. But, I got a list of questions for D'Lo. But I'll take it back for a couple more questions. I'll get to mine, and then we'll let D'Lo go. So, Chaz, anything else for D'Lo before we let him go?
Were you the first ever co-holder of the European and Intercontinental title? Were you the first one?
Yeah, I was the very first one to do that, and it's a very small crowd. It's myself, Kurt Angle, and I want to say Jeff Jarrett are the only Eurocontinentals. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, how did you did? Tell me a little bit about that, because I'm curious. I'm thinking you were under a lot of pressure at the time just for it, being the holder of that title. You know what I mean?
You know, honestly, yes, there's pressure, but I was having way too much fun to even care about the pressure. I was – and just think about this. Every time you saw me in the ring, the 9-year-old inside of me was laughing his ass off, couldn't believe I was there. So when I remember the night that we, you know, I got the titles, and I remember going back to my hotel, and I placed both belts on the hotel bed next to me. I looked at them, and I was like, I had to rub my eyes and make sure this wasn't a dream, because I'm like, I cannot believe these two are right here in front of me, and my name is now linked with the history of the Intercontinental title, the European title forever, and to be the first one to do it, man, that was my world title. That's one of the best honors I've ever had in the wrestling business.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Sonya, anything else for D'Lo before we let him go?
No, I'm good.
well, look, here's the thing, and this is what I try to usually, you know, wrap it up with or whatever, especially when we have somebody like D'Lo on the show. Put it this way, there's very few people that I would actually, you know, pay to see. But for lack of a better term, not so much on the independence, but, you know, anywhere. But I got, you know, at the first Lucha Expo, the second Lucha Expo, it was in San Diego, and I had a chance to talk to Black Darius, and he was barely, you know, coming around with English and stuff like that, and I saw him, and I said, hey, you know, you got something different, bro. I think you know, what you got is going to take off. He's like, oh, thank you. I said, I could tell you're getting in shape, you know, you're really working American style as well as just the luchas and stuff like this. Yeah, man. He goes, I got to be well-rounded, you know, if I want to get out there. So I could see his progression. And then I saw him in PWG, and I'm like, dude, this guy's really starting to take the bull by the horns. So then he got to Impact. You know, he started working out there and stuff like that. So when I see him, you know, right now I think – This is one of the guys that I'd actually pay to see. He's really putting out. He can go with anybody, you know, work American style and stuff like that. What about you, D-Lo? Is there anybody right now that you see that you go, man, this guy's got something. I think he's gonna really make it to the top.
Man, if I say one, I'll disrespect a lot of others. I just know
there's a lot of good talent out there. Yeah.
There's a lot of good talent out there right now. And that's the beautiful thing of supporting independent wrestling, because it's like watching minor league baseball. You get to watch that person, male or female, grow up in the business. And then one day when they're on national TV, you can say, I knew them when. I saw them when they were just, starting out. And it's a whole different experience, because now you get to see their origin story and you get to see the growth of them. So, that's reason number one to support independent wrestling.
You know, that point that he just made right there, it is gold, because I didn't even want to go. It was my daughter, because we go to a lot of independent shows just to see talent and all that. And it was a while back, Joseph from PCW did a show, an independent show where he was spotlighting the light heavyweight guys. And Chris Bay was on that. It was right here in Long Beach. It was at a nightclub or something right here in Long Beach. And we saw him, and I said, man, this guy, he's got something here. He's in shape. And then I look at him now, and I go, damn, I remember when he was, coming up, and he did that show for Joseph or whatever, and look at him now. So D-Lo, I think I can't speak for you, of course, but it seems to me like the more work you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And when I see guys like that, I see them putting in the work, paying the dues, and then it'll all come to fruition, right?
Yeah, the more work you put in, the better it is. The more work you put in, the better you get. The more people start talking about you, the better reputation you get, and that's when people start taking notice, and that's how you grow. But it all starts with you doing the work. If you're not going to put the work in, you're only going to get in what you're only going to get out of what you put in.
Yeah, well, D-Lo, I appreciate you coming on, man, and talking with us. It's amazing when we have somebody like you on the messages and the emails I get, and I don't want to, how can I say this? I know you know who you are, but I don't think you know how big you are, because when we had somebody like D-Lo Brown, that legitimizes our podcast, and people start emailing and stuff like that, and it helps us out too. So from the bottom of my heart, and I think I can speak for many, we appreciate you coming on. I'll see you on Saturday. I'm going to be there at the 3PW show, 3PWA. So for the people listening, 3PWA, back to business, this Saturday at the American Legion Post 295. Make sure you come down. D-Lo's going to be there. And, of course, WrestleCon coming up at the end of March. He's going to be there for sessions 1, 3, and 4. Make sure you come down and check him out. It's at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel. So make sure you check that out. D-Lo, amazing. Thank you for coming on, man. I look forward to see you on Saturday. All right, my man?
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me on, and I look forward to seeing everybody in SoCal on Saturday. 3PWA, let's do it.
Absolutely. D-Lo Brown, everybody. We'll be right back. Chaz, Sonia, and PG Jello, hang on. We'll be right back after this. D-Lo Brown, check him out. Hey, how about that D-Lo Brown, huh?
Yeah.
I know, huh?
Here's the thing, real quick, for the people listening, we're here. We're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. We got Guyam coming up in about 5 minutes or so, but, This is kind of what I'm talking about. You get people like that on, that've been in the business and made it to the big show, whatever. It just legitimizes not only the podcast, but the company itself. People start noticing. They're like, hey, man, these guys are moving. They're moving and shaking. So appreciate him coming on. But real quick before we get to Guyam, I didn't get a chance to talk to Chaz. I don't know if you listened to the opening or whatever, but this show on April 30th is just, it is blowing up, because not only it's my last match, it's my retirement match, because even if I wanted to wrestle after that, I can't because of what I got going on. And then you got the Pistol Pete Memorial Cup 2 coming up. It's Guyam and Silver Tiger versus Santana Jackson and Jimmy Mayhem. And then you got the heavyweight title, the world championship. It's going to be Uncle Chaz versus Drew Masters. So, Chaz, have you heard any? I have. People are like, dude, this show is going to be huge. Have you heard a little bit of the buzz about you wrestling for the belt?
Well, about wrestling for the belt, not so much, but I've definitely been hearing a lot about the show. I've had a lot of same as you, I'm sure. I've had a lot of guys asking me about getting on the show. And, you know, so there is a lot of excitement and there is a buzz around it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Like, go ahead.
Well, okay. This is what's going on. When we meet, now, you know, you ever watch those shows where they flip houses and we're talking about that? You have an electrician and a plumber and a real estate agent. You have this team that has all their little jobs and they all meet up. Well, that's us. When we meet, it's myself, it's Manny, it's Sonia, PG Jello, Pete Jr., Nicolette, you know, we all meet at Local Grind and we talk about what's coming up. So Manny was like, well, look, you know, we're to the point where we're going to, you know, have that belt, you know, and we're going to have the wrestlers wrestle for that belt. And that person's going to be the hood ornament. And we're going to, you know, make sure we build around him and everything. So I was at a loss. I'm like, well, what about this person? So Sonia is what we talked about, Chaz. Manny and I talked about Chaz. We're like, dude, he's been putting in the work. You know, he's been training. He can work both styles. That dude definitely deserves it. And then out of nowhere, it was either Pete Jr., Sonya, I can't remember, said, well, dude, I would put him up against Drew Masters. That's another dude that's been put in the work. He's been at every one of our shows. He's been, you know, working hard or whatever. I think if we put Uncle Chaz versus Drew Masters for the belt, that's going to be it. That's the epitome of getting to where you want to get as far as the independent scene is going. So, Sonia, would you agree that's how it all came about?
Yeah, I agree. And it was Peter who bring Drew Masters in. He was like, he loved Drew.
Yeah. So, but that's how it all came about. That's how it all came to fruition. So now that we got Chaz here with us, give me your thoughts on that. I mean, you know, Drew Masters, when I talk to him, he's all about strong style. Bro, you know, New Japan this, and, you know, I'm working on laying in my kicks, and, you know, I'm always working, and but then, you know, I've known Chaz for a while, and not only does he train, you know, Lucha Libre and all that day, man, he trains jiu-jitsu too, and that's a big part of it, because you get somebody to the ground, you got to know your escapes, and you got to know, you know, stuff like that, so, you know, Chaz, talk a little bit about that, man, what you're bringing to the table for this big match.
Well, speaking of taking someone down, yeah, I know a thing or two about that and how to, you know, ground them and control them. Most people don't know that I do have a few years of boxing training and Muay Thai training under my belt as well. So I do some judo training as well. Every single style brings its own sort of, like, ingredient to the whole mix of striking, but what I mostly trained in those arts for was for defense. So, like, if you've watched, and you see this more in the early UFC, the whole thing about a striker is if you can make it into the pocket with them, and you're a grappler and they're not, then they're in trouble. The danger zone is, like, you know, at their striking range. That's the danger zone. You got to penetrate that. And once you're in, bam, that's it. So, you know, that's kind of how I see this going, this match with Drew Masters, is that, you know, I'm going to get in there, I'm going to deflect, I'm going to block, I'm going to parry, et cetera, close distance, and then just clamp on and good night, you know. Good night, Drew Masters.
Well, let me tell you something. This is and this is why I have a lot of respect for Chaz. I trained jiu-jitsu. I got my blue belt or whatever, and since then I kind of fell by the wayside. I've been making excuses. Oh, I'm old and all that. So recently I went to a couple of OCCW shows, and Dello was like, hey, man, you need to get back in here, bro. Bro, I'm 57. It doesn't matter how old you are. You get back in here or whatever. Okay, no problem. So I went to open mat. Went a couple of times. The first time I went, Chaz, you got to tell him, man, there is a huge difference in training jiu-jitsu and training pro wrestling or whatever. I mean, I got to open mat first round, 3-minute round, no problem. Second round, I started to feel it a little bit. By that third round, that lactic acid buildup, the chicharrones and everything that I ate for lunch. So and after that bell rang, I'll be right back. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to go outside real quick. You going to go throw up? No. and he knew. He knew, you know, and it's just different, you know, because your muscles, you're constantly, you know, holding or trying to get out, and you're trying to, you know, find that escape. You're looking for doors and windows, you know, and before you know it, dude, it just, you know, it really drains you. So if you're not in shape, you know, it's going to hit you. Would you agree, Chaz?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned this last time that I was on with UWC Radio. I run classes there in West Covina, and everyone pukes, and everyone's like, most people are like ashamed of it, but I have to remind them, hey, I literally puked a month ago because I, you know, like you said, chicharrones. In my case, I was just dehydrated, and all I really had was energy drink. Huh?
Yeah.
So bad.
But I feel like when you throw up after, I feel like throwing up makes it a good workout. Like, you know, you got that workout in if you throw up
exactly.
at the end.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you put that work in.
There's definitely a time and a place. Like, when I'm getting ready for competitions in jiu-jitsu, then that's my goal.
Before we get to Guyam, because I got to get to him. I just got to get this in.
Yeah.
Wrestling, I mean, no-gi, I can pretty much hang with anybody. Because I've been doing it for a long time, and I've worked with John. No-gi, put that gi on, I can get choked out by an 8-year-old girl. I don't know if it's in my head or whatever, but there's just so much stuff to grab. So as soon as I go, okay, put your gi on, and I'm like, oh, shit. And there's so much to grab and all that. And Delo said, this was literally about a month ago. He goes, the day you stop and get that out of your head and just listen to what I'm telling you, you'll see or whatever. So real quick, since I have Chaz and PG Jello, give me your thoughts on that. First, we'll start with Chaz. It's got to – do you think it's in my head? Because they say, okay, put the gi on. I go, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Talk about that.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with – since you're asking me, I'm going to go with, yeah, I think you're right. Because I started with no gi for 2 years, and here's the funny story. I was training at this academy that I'm still at to this day, 13 years later, in boxing. That's what I went for. But one day I was late, so I put on this. So I hopped in with my, you know, boxing gear. It was suitable for no gi. I was like, I'll do a little workout one time and do this stuff. Bam! I fell in love with no gi, and I did it for two years. And then I'm like, you know what? Let me try this gi, and I felt the same as you. I felt like completely lost. The very first time I did, I was so comfortable with no gi, and then with gi, for the very reasons you mentioned, I was getting pinned down and trapped in ways that did not, you know, did not seem like I could not predict what the heck was happening. I did feel like I was caught in a web sometimes, but nowadays, well, it took me a while to say, hey, let me just get used to all this, like, burn from the gi, getting choked by it, or people wrapping it around your face or whatever. And then all smothering you with the gi so that you're under them, they're putting pressure, and they're covering your face with the gi on accident or not, you know. So it took me a few years. I think it's just reps. You probably just have to do it enough times to enough times.
That is,
you know,
exactly what Delo said. He said, you get in here at two days a week minimum, get your bun in here and start listening to what I'm saying instead of, you know, letting it get in your head. You'll see. Real quick before we get to Kaya, PG Jello, you find the same thing or have you been training with the gi at all?
I train with the gi a lot, but I think I agree with Chaz. Like, when I first started, I did no gi at first, and then I went to jiu-jitsu. But, like, when I started, I was, like, pretty confident. I was like, oh, I'm going to tap everybody out. And then I realized that you can grab your clothes. So I was like, okay, this is a total different game. And then now you just kind of have to find your move. Like, you either have to, like, I don't know, because someone taught me the bow and arrow in jiu-jitsu, and ever since then, that's all I get people. It is either the bow and arrow or rear naked.
Well, we're going to have a show where we just talk about that. I'll get Gordon Ryan or somebody in here, or I'll get Rafael Lovato Jr., and we'll talk about that. But I'm going to go ahead and get Guyam in here real quick so we can talk to him, because I don't want to leave him hanging. So everybody hang on 1 second here. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Hold on. It's going to dial on the air, so just be prepared. I'm going to have to go to the kids' class and revamp myself.
Hello.
Hey, Guyam, it's Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
It's beautiful. Real quick for the people listeners, you're here, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information. And I got Guyam El Chivo with me. I got a lot to talk about, but real quick, Guyam, we got a full house here. I got PG Jello, I got Sonya, and I got the wild man himself, Uncle Chaz Herrera. Real quick, we'll start with Chaz. Say hi to Guyam.
Hey, Guyam, how you doing?
Hey, my brother. My brother,
how you
where
been?
You been?
You know, it's just been around.
It's been too long, my brother. In...
Yes, it has. Last
That's
time it
I'm
was,
talking.
I think,
well, I hope
like,
you show up this Sunday, this marvelous show we have put together, man.
Yeah, that's at the
Metroflex,
no?
Yeah.
There we
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to talk about that, but I got a couple things I want to go before. But real quick, Sonya and PG Jello, say hi to Guyam real quick.
Hi.
Hey, my dear friends, how are you? Good to hear you guys.
Good.
It's always like being home with you guys, man.
We,
yeah, it's always natural.
We got
so much
to cover, but you know, Guyam has a big show coming up this Sunday. It's Lucha Libre Alliance. We talked a little bit, you know. Real quick, before we get into that, we had D'Lo Brown on earlier. We're talking about people promoting and getting themselves out there. And we had the live broadcast from 3PWA this last Saturday, or was it a Sunday? And Guyam came out, you know, and we all promoted to get the stuff out there. And we talked about how much work, you know, you put in to get your stuff out there. And I don't think anybody works harder than Guyam and Enigma de Oro. So we talked a lot about that. So I want to talk about that show because it's going to be huge. We talked a little bit about it at the live broadcast over there at 3PWA. But down the line, we talked about this too. Big show coming up April 30th for UWC. Not only is Chaz going to wrestle for the belt against the Drew Masters, but Guyam himself is going to be defending the inaugural Pistol Pete Memorial Cup Tag Team Tournament Trophy. So real quick, I'm going to talk Woo-hoo. About that. You know, your partner, your regular partner, Fletch Fugaz, got messed up his shoulder. He has to have surgery, so he's going to be out for a while.
Yes, sir.
So Silver Tiger said, hey, bro, dude, I am – let me get in there. That's huge. Teaming with Guyam, he's got the experience and everything. You know, I've been around for a long time. I think we would make a good – and I told Guyam, yeah, let's do it. You know, if I can't have my regular partner, let's do it. So Silver Tiger is hyped, not only to team with Guyam against us, but you guys are going up against a team of Santana Jackson and Jimmy Mayhem. So, I mean, it's like when we talk about well-rounded and having to be able to up your game and know what you're doing or whatever, that's huge. So talk a little bit about that real quick before we get into your big show.
Well, I'm very – first of all, I know Silver Tiger for many years, since he was a kid,
yes.
Okay? We go way back to WPW with Martin Marin, my dear friend. And to team up with him in this stage of his career is a thrill, man. It's a thrill to see this kid. He has matured into this great wrestler. And, I'm going to miss Flecha Fugaz because we're on the same wavelength, you know. And we think the same way. But with Silver Tiger, I respect this kid. Because he's been around for already a number of years, and we've never tag teamed before. But that's not gonna stop. We're going in there to defend, and Santana and his partner. Well, they better be ready, man, because this is gonna be war. All right, this is a rumble, and there's no holding back. You got two
right.
in there, and you got a tiger in there. Ah, that's a good cocktail right there, man.
When I talked to Santana, and Jimmy Mayhem. Jimmy Mayhem's the one that's a dude, bro. Let me get in there. I think if Santana and I team, we're gonna be coming at him in a different way. But he also said those guys. Mostly Guyam because Fletch Fugaz, you know, lives a little bit far. He goes, when I would see the live broadcast and see that big trophy you know, sitting there going, God dang, those guys have got to hold on to that for a whole year. Oh, yeah. And you go do this, and there's that big trophy, man, and we're the inaugural Pistol Pete Memorial Cup winners. He goes, I saw that trophy about three or four times every time you guys did a live broadcast or an appearance or whatever. He goes, and that's what I want. I want to go to my things, go, look, man, here's a trophy or whatever. So people, you know, they want that trophy for the year, but I don't think I am going to give that bad boy up that easy.
Oh,
and
no
like
sir.
You said, yeah, no teaming sir. With Silver Tiger. So that's going to be huge. So we definitely look forward to that. That's April 30th. That's going to be where we're talking about, Metroflex Gym. So not only that, but give me your thoughts on this. Chaz's been putting in the work. We were talking a little bit about that, but so has Drew Masters. He's been, you know, putting in the work. And then when we told him, hey, man, you're going to get that shot at the belt, he's like, dude. And he's been – so give me your thoughts on that match. Not only because we have Uncle Chaz with us, but I know you won't be biased and tell us the real deal. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, Chaz, I mean, geez, this guy, Aquaman, he's my boy, you know. God dang, this guy's a powerhouse. Hey, but Drew Masters, my respects, okay? Drew Masters, I got to respect that kid as well. So, I mean, that just tells one thing, one heck of a match, right? That, there's no doubt about that, not one doubt.
I agree 100%, and the buzz around this whole show is huge. Okay, I can't make guarantees, but I'm gonna tell you this: it's gonna be packed. This is the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
I've already sold a few tickets for that show. That's how much people are like, hey, bro, can I buy some tickets now? I'm like, we haven't even printed them yet, but sure, you know, whatever. So we're looking forward to that. Now, before we get you go to defend your Pistol Pete Memorial Cup, I don't know, Chaz, if you're aware, or Sonia or PG Jello, Kayam's got a match coming up this Sunday. Not only is it a three-way, okay, it's not even the three-way of death. It is himself against Mr. California, who is supposedly, in his own mind, the king of the death match and Atomic, in a three-way dance with Thumbtacks. So somebody's going to get slammed into those thumbsacks. So real quick, Diane, talk a little bit first about how this all came about and what your thoughts are going into that match.
Well, Kali, you know, he's off the hook, that guy. And so he's been insisting that, hey, Kyle, you've been a champ, you've been this, this, and that, but you've never been in a match. Like a brother. I've been in extreme matches before. They were called extreme matches. In Mexico, we call them super libre sin referee.
Yeah.
That's what we call them down there. And it's just a no-holds-barred match, you know. And so Enigma, I think you already heard enough of his bragging that this and that. He said, you know what? You're in a tag team. I mean, you're in a thumbtack match. And I go, are you sure about that? He says, oh, I'm sure. I'm like, wow, what the heck? Let's do it, man. And Atomic is in there. Atomic is always a threat. But
yeah.
All the elements are in there for a great match because Atomic is one heck of a wrestler, and of course, Gali, you got to respect the fact. Well, you know it. You had a match with him not too long ago. Where all kinds of things were going through that ring and popping and cracking and smashing.
He hit me with so many light tubes, I didn't even have a chance to breathe. I turned around, block out there, and it just kept coming. So the people who benefited were Home Depot, because he must have bought a million from them because I got hit with so many. But not only that, and we talked about this at the live broadcast at 3PWA, you know, the title match with Maligno, and putting up your mask and stuff like that, we talk about the significance of what it means to say, hey, man, I want this title so bad, I'll put my mask up. So talk a little bit about that.
Okay, yes, yeah, that match, man, that match is worth a main event in any company, all right, any company, because Jawar held that title for, I believe, 2 years. And then Maligno, I love how you described him last time as a smooth operator.
Yes.
He's not a talker. He's not a talker, man. He's nice and quiet, but he's that very cerebral, assassin of these who call Triple H. Yeah, this guy is real smart. He's real quiet, but he gets things done. And so he took the title from Hawad, and Hawad's been after it for the past 3 years. And so now he has a big chance. And he was so intense in securing that match that he right there, and it was right there at the Metroplex the last time, and he said, "I'm putting my mask at stake. I want you. You've been ducking me. I want you." And Nemo was there. He says, "Let's sign it up. You're willing to put that mask at risk?" And that's a big, big, big chance he's taking because guys in Mexico, when a guy loses his mask, a lot of times his career is pretty much over, you know?
Yeah, that's huge.
Career is pretty much done. And I can give you examples. Now, the great Fishman, the great Superastro, that when they lost their mask, they also lost a lot of bookings, man, and things went downhill after that. Yeah, it's a big, big roll of the dice. But that's how confident Jaguar feels. You know, the guy is insane in the gym. I mean, this guy is nuts. He works out like he doesn't have an ounce of fat on his body, that guy. He runs.
Yeah.
Oh man, he's just really, really hyped up, and that match is something very, very, very important in the card this Sunday.
I agree 100%. But then after that, we're gonna move the action from the ring over to the mixed martial arts cage. So talk a little bit about that, because there's no running, no hiding in that cage.
Well, that's the coup de grace right there. That's the main event. And very similar setting with Jaguar and Maligno. Warhawk is a former LLA heavyweight champ, and he lost the title to Plague also about 3 years ago. And he's just been hounding Plague left and right, and Plague says, "Hey, you get in line, man. I'm making my defenses," and he's done a great job as a champ. My respects to the great Plague. But finally, he has him cornered, and he says, "No more intervention from nobody. No one's gonna help you out in any way, because we're gonna be locked up in this MMA cage. And man, is that thing stiff! Let me tell you, I already went in there, checked it out. Oh, holy, yeah. So that match, that's the main event. It's in the cage." MMA cage in that great gym. Our dear friend Eddie Ellicott. He's go for it, man. I want to see these guys. I want to see these guys get in there and settle things the way it's supposed to be done. And this Sunday.
Let me put it this way, okay? I don't think the people understand the strength that the Plague has. I'm fat, and he picked me up. It's funny because before I knew it, he scooped me up and he had me up like just up above his head. And in my mind, I'm thinking, dude, did this dude just pick? Like my mind was like, did he just pick me up and then bark at us straight down? So that dude has strength like I've wrestled a lot of people, and that dude's got that natural strength. So it just adds to you know, picking up Warhawk and slamming him into the cage and him coming back. So, I mean, I'm telling you, that whole card is going to be huge. So make sure you come down. It's going to be this Sunday at the Metroplex gym. Go ahead.
I've seen a Plague tear those old yellow pages, they're not around anymore. Those phone books. He could tear it in half, this crazy guy. I mean, Warhawk is Warhawk is no slouch. I mean, that kid, he's so powerful. And, I mean, I saw him slam black metal.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's just raw power right there in that main event. So, once again, it's a powerhouse of a card. Fans out there, you don't miss it. You can't miss it, man. It's just an incredible matchups. And Enigma de Oro, I got to hand it to that guy. He knows who to contact and this and that. And wow, what a card.
That's two big dudes in a cage that with a little bit of room. So it's going to be huge. Let me take I got to take a quick break real quick. Kayev, can you hang out? Can you hang out for a minute? Because we've got to do the news, and I'm running up against the clock. Let me take a quick break. Everybody hang on. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memories. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
If they can make me look good, they can make anybody look good. Real quick, because we're running up against the clock. Sonia, you got some news for us?
Yes, I do, and I'm actually happy about it. Vicky Guerrero is finally going to leave AEW and disappear. No, I'm glad I hate her.
Boring. I think, honestly, and we'll take this around the horn, I think, you know, since Eddie was her husband and the legacy and everything, I think they said, look, well, let's have her in here for a little while just so we can kind of have, you know, a little bit of the legacy of the whole Eddie Guerrero thing or whatever. But, you know, after a while, you know, you can only do so much, especially if you're not a wrestler. Yeah. So let's take it around the horn, man. We'll start with our guest, Kayem. Kayem, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't know, man. She's something else, but yeah, of course she has limitations, you know.
God bless her.
It ran its course, and now you know, she's going for bigger, better things, I suppose. But
hopefully,
just the fact that the connection to Eddie, and of course Eddie, God rest his soul, that guy was the master blaster. But, I wish her the best, Vicky. I wish her the best.
You know what? Let's get Chaz. Give me your thoughts on that, and then I want to run a question around the panel again. Chaz, what do you think? Is Chaz still there? Did he hang up?
Chaz, my boy. Where are you?
Is he still there?
Go.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey. I guess I don't really have an opinion either way. I'm like I am, where hopefully on to bigger, better things for her, you know?
Uh-huh. Here's the thing, and I'll take this around the horn, and I get a lot of heat for this. I do. I think Eddie Guerrero, one of the best wrestlers ever, man, especially towards the end of the career, the dude was in shape. He was bringing stuff that people, you know, weren't used to seeing, like, you know, throwing the chair, taking the bump, and, you know, they don't know what's going on. And just it matches with Chris Benoit, Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, absolutely. But it's very hard. It's funny because I was watching the Jake the Snake documentary, and, oh, I got hooked on drugs, and I got and it's very hard for me to feel bad for people like Eddie, like China, like Jake the Snake, because, you know, that people strive. I mean, that's the coup de grace. You want to get to WWE. You want to be the best in the world. And there's people that would give their right arm to have that opportunity and to be at the top and to throw it away on drugs or to, you know, alcohol or whatever. It's just very hard for me to, you know, people give John Cena a hard time, but hey, look at that dude. You know, he made it to the top. He was always training. He kept it there forever. You know what I mean? So you've got to kind of take the good with the bad. You know what I'm saying? And I get a lot of heat for that. But let's just put it this way. I would have wanted to be in the WWE. You're trying to get to go ahead.
I agree with you 100%. I've heard guys that even blame the business for their addictions. Oh, well, it's because it's a lot of stress and a lot of injuries, and I got hooked on this. I got hooked on that. Come on, give me a break. But give me a break. Don't blame the business. Don't blame the business. The business is there, and yes, it's a rough business. over here in our side, we had one of our kids who got a horrible injury this past weekend. The guy wrestled as a kid Azteca.
Mm-hmm.
Azteca. He suffered a horrible. He was just operated on yesterday. 9-hour operation on his neck. Yeah. But okay.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I agree with you that you guys they made it, and to blame the business or, you know, that I cannot agree with that. Yes, so I'm totally on your side with that comment.
Yeah, Chaz.
Yeah, I agree with Kayem about not blaming the business because I don't know any place that I've ever been to that didn't give you a heads up that you know at any moment something bad could happen. Really bad can happen. Something that ends your career could happen. The wear and tear is something that people that want to get to the top should be aware of. I mean, it's just common sense that this stuff is not easy. It hurts your body. And even let's talk about guys like Benoit or I'll give you an example personally. I broke my tailbone. And in a match, 1 minute in, I finished the match 10 minutes in. I knew the whole time, okay, I can't finish. I mean, I can't stop. Just from the tailbone, I got to finish. Literally, once the match finished, that switch turned off because the match was done and I couldn't walk for a week. And I never once missed. I still showed up to training every – I showed up to all the trainings. I didn't train, but I showed up and watched. And I never once thought to myself, I'm going to stop this wrestling stuff because of this bad situation. I recovered, luckily, but even if it had taken – and luckily I was off crutches and a cane within a week, but I never once blamed it, and the promoter was a shady guy, and he only paid me $15. And then the match was a pretty good match, but they still tried to throw somebody under the bus, and we were the smaller names, being the new guys at the time, and so we did the worst match. So there was no appreciation, no pay, and a really bad experience. Except I'm proud of the work I did in that match. I'm proud of the fact that I didn't stop, even despite the injury. I would not recommend that. If you're listening as a wrestler, only because I don't want to take responsibility if you make that decision, but somehow I did. I finished that match, and I never once blamed wrestling. It was my choice to be in there. I know what can happen at any point. We pray it doesn't happen to any of us, you know, but once in a while it does, and it's an unfortunate aspect of the business.
Exactly,
and so,
but okay, Sonia, somebody like Chaz, he messes up his tailbone, but he keeps going or whatever. And the whole reason is because he's trying to get to a certain point. And if he gets to that point and like, all right, I made it. I don't think Chaz is going to go, hey, let's go have a drink. I'm going to start doing drugs. You're going to keep going and you want to keep that spot or whatever. So Sonia, from the women's point of view, and I know you got PG Jello over there, you know, she's training. She's trying to get there. I mean, don't you think if she made it to the pinnacle of wrestling, let's say New Japan or WWE or AEW, you would say, hey man, I'm here, I'm going to keep going. I mean, give me you and PG Jello, give me your thoughts on that.
Jello walked away already, but I would keep push her to keep going, and if she got injured, I would just not let her take the painkillers that they prescribe, because they're always trying to push pills on people who get hurt right away. And I'm just like totally against pills.
Well, put it this way.
They just prescribe stuff that actually hurt you more than actually helping you. And people get addicted because they don't know better.
Well, put it this way. I know Guyam knows who the Bronx Bomber is, and he was my partner for a long time. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. If he'd have a beer or whatever after, but Pete would tell him, dude, do not, you know, take it easy with that stuff. If you show up drunk or anything, I will throw you right out of here. And I turned into Insta Rain Man. I was like, oh God, you know, whatever. But hey, Al Bronx Bomber had the respect for Pete to where he would say, oh no problem, bro. Nobody goes, okay, because I'm trying to get you somewhere. I'm trying to help you. So you know what I mean? Back then they didn't play that. So it's just hard for me to feel bad for him. I mean, man, it's just like China. She did so well, and then went, okay, yeah, you know, the Triple H did her dirty or whatever, and I mean, I don't think anybody would not marry the boss's daughter, but I was hoping for the underdog, like, you know what, F that, put that behind you, go to Japan, man, you'll be huge out there, just keep going, and she went that way, you know what I mean, so I just think, you know, come on, man, let's just do it.
That was also a self-esteem issue, like, you know, like, she probably got very defeated after that, and then, like, the drugs probably helped not feel that.
It's too bad. I mean, it happens, but I catch a lot of heat for that. But
I don't think they shouldn't blame it on the thing. It's their personal issues that bring them to the drugs.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, anyway, since we're running up against the clock, I am a million thank yous. It's always good. That's why I like to get Enigma in here, too, because Enigma will tell it like it is. That dude keeps it 100 or whatever. And between him and Kayam, we know we're going to get the 100%. So definitely look forward to the big show coming up for Lucha Libre Alliance. It's going to be this Sunday, March 5th. It's going to be at the Metroflex Sports Complex. Make sure you come down. Kayam, is there somewhere they can go to see the lineup or buy tickets or anything like that from social media?
Just the number, area code 562-896-3954. Call that number. You get all the information, and you can buy your tickets through the Venmo.
Yes.
In person, or you could ahead of time, or when you get there in cash, or your card through Venmo. The point is, let's get together this Sunday and let's blow the roof right off that joint.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Now, Uncle Chaz, you know, we look forward to your big title match coming up on April 30th. And, you know, it's it for me, bro. The April 30th is my last one, and I feel confident that, you know, between Chaz and PG Jello and Manny and Sonia, that they're going to carry the torch and carry it on to bigger, you know, greener pastures or whatever. So we definitely look forward to Uncle Chaz's big title match coming up. Sonia, a million thank yous for coming on and dealing with me on a regular basis, because you got to listen to all my crap. And, of course, PG Jello, she's going to be over there, too. She's going to be with us all at WrestleCon. So make sure you come and check it out. A million thank yous for you guys all coming on. We look forward to seeing all of you in the near future. We'll see everybody here soon. Chaz, Sonia, and Pete will be on next week, so make sure you check them out. A million thank yous for coming on. I'll see all of you real soon.
Paul Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway, or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam.